Good morning.
Good morning.
The first scripture this morning comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 19, and then 23 through 25, which can be found on page 696 in your Pew Bible, Pew Bibles. 17 through 19. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. Down to 23. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The second reading comes from the New Testament, Luke 21, verses 5 through 19, which can be found on page 85 in your Pew Bibles. Chapter 21, 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. But many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to understand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You've heard me use that Isaiah 65 verse many times, because as we call for prayers, Isaiah 65 verse 24, that God's already moving to answer our prayers before we've finished speaking them. One, that speaks to God's faithfulness. The other piece is the New Testament. Luke. I mean, how many of you have read the book of Revelation and you look at the trials and tribulations that are there for the Christian? Well, Jesus is there at the temple and he's communicating with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the temple. And they're looking at how glorious and wonderful the temple is. The temple of Solomon that had been destroyed by Babylon, and all the gold and jewels had been taken off, and now Herod has been laboring for 40 years to rebuild the temple in grandeur and beauty with gold and jewels and all of these wonderful things. Well, you know what? No matter how wonderful and beautiful men build, what happens? Fire, earthquake, war, destruction. Those things come, and what happens to those buildings? They either fall apart, they're shaken and broken down. A beautiful mountain, Mount St. Helens, Mount Pinatubo, a great, wonderful air base at Clark Air Base in the Philippines. Mount Pinatubo blows up and it covers that whole area in ash. Well, what is this story there? Jesus is talking to people in the temple there. And he is giving them, as you look on the sign, hope. There is hope. Because every generation has faced these travails. Hurricanes, earthquakes, destruction, famine, war. Every generation from early Christians, the temple is destroyed in AD 70. The Romans come in and take brick from brick and carry off almost all of the people of Jerusalem as slaves. The first century church, these apostles and the disciples of Jesus, you know, they're spread far and wide. And eventually, around 300 or so, Constantine accepts Christianity as the Roman faith. But a lot happens in between that. So, you know, let's just look at some of these things. And we won't belabor them because we know they happen. In verse 8, he says, "Beware that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' The time is near. Do not go after them." When you hear of wars and insurrections, anybody listen to the news over the last couple of days? I mean, pick up a newspaper. There's some war. There's some insurrection that's going on. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. Global warming, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, winter storms, all of these things happen, and what happens to people? The weather is stronger than any of us. The weather is more powerful than any of our structures and any of our buildings. What Jesus is saying, don't put your faith and your hope in those things that are built by man. The only thing we have is today. The only thing we have is this moment now. Now, our spouses and our parents and our children, we love them. But there's no promise that they're going to be there tomorrow, whether it's a car accident or something else. But the thing is to celebrate now that you have them. Celebrate now the love that you have for them. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. So he's speaking specifically to his disciples and apostles at this point. And you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This is verse 13 and 14. This is a promise and a hope. This will give you an opportunity to testify. And when we join the church, we pledge to support the church with our tithes, our presence, our prayers, and our witness. If we're truly disciples of Jesus Christ, then we bear witness to His glory and grace. So this will give us an opportunity to testify when we're brought before these kings. But here's the other piece. You know, are you thinking, okay, what am I going to say when I'm brought before these potentates? and rulers. Jesus tells you, make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You know, I'm not saying you don't hire a good lawyer if you're brought before a criminal court or some other kind of court. But when we're brought before the powers and potentates and our Christianity is at risk or at question, then we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the right answer. If we're born again, if we have the Holy Spirit, then we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us that. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they'll put some of you to death. You'll be hated because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. There's no promise that you're not going to be persecuted. How many of you know that there are Christians right now being persecuted in Syria, Afghanistan, in the Philippines, and in other areas, whether it's China, South America? There are Christians being persecuted right now. Fortunately, none of us are being persecuted, but in this country. But they're all in these changes. There will be great distress on earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken away as captives. This is verse 23. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of Gentiles is fulfilled. There'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring seas and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming in the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And now these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. This has happened for generation and generation and generation. People have been under trials and tribulations. There have been earthquakes, there's been famine, there's been wars, there have been illnesses. All of those things have occurred. What some of the writers say is Jesus is speaking specifically to the Jewish people at the time because Jerusalem's going to be overthrown. The temple's going to be torn down. Jesus said, tear this temple down and in 4 days I'll build it again. The point there is the temple where we worship God is not a building. The temple where we worship God is through Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, the one who pays the sin debt for us, that puts us in a right relationship with God. That is irrefutable, and we know that even the grave can't triumph over Him. And next week, as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, there's another piece that deals with the crucifixion of Jesus. How in the world is that something for us to be thankful for? For the persecution, for the trials, for the tribulations. It's not those things that happen because they're going to happen. I mean, all we have to do is pick up a newspaper. Open any of the web browsers that deal with the news of today. Look at a Richmond newspaper. Look at a Richmond local. There are murders. There are rapes. There are fires. Any number of things going on. The point we look at is, in spite of all of those things, we have something that we can hope for, something that we can hold on to, and that is what Christ Jesus has done for us, that He is the King, that He is the one who will be there when we're under trial and tribulation. He will be there when all of these portents and signs occur. Bless you. And then at 1 Thessalonians, what does it say? The trumpet sounds, the clouds part, Jesus descends, the graves give up the dead, and we all rise to meet Him and spend an eternity, an everlasting time with Him in those resurrection bodies. Our hope and faith is not in a building. Our hope and faith is not in things that are out there. Yes, we work hard. We invest in things. We have security systems in our homes. We drive carefully in our cars. We buy a safe automobile. We check the tires. We check the gas. We do all of those things. Yes. But there are things that are outside our control. But what we can do is have faith and hope in spite of all of those things that we know are going to happen. Because they've been happening for more than 2,000 years. And if Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit decide we're going to be living for another that the earth is going to be here another 1,000 years, believers are going to be persecuted and suffer for another 1,000 years. I personally don't think so, because the way the world's going now, but there have been people at the millennia, the first millennia, thought that day was coming. So even though most of what is here is a negative because it's earthly, and we know nothing of the earth is permanent. Everything of the earth made by man is temporal. It'll pass away. Put your faith and hope in the things that are eternal. Christ's promise to you, Christ's power in you, Christ's love, grace, and mercy for each and every one of us. For that, no one can take away. No power on heaven or earth can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Shalom. Peace.